Indeed, I count it a privilege this morning to stand before you to share the Word of God together. The background to why I will need to stand before you today is some weeks back when the senior pastor said, he called me here to share about a situation that I was faced with. But on that day, I did not come to church here. And so 2 weeks ago, I came to church and I approached him. I said, I learned you wanted me to share. It was going to be like 10 minutes, and I'm sure we will get part of the reason for why he wanted me to share. It's going to be about the tension, the Christian-Muslim tension in Nigeria. And so he asked me, how many minutes do you think you need? And I said, between 10 and 15 minutes. And he said, then you can preach. And I said, okay, that will be an opportunity so that we will know more. So that is the background to why I am standing before you. Because when I left Nigeria, I never knew, I never thought that I would preach in a church before God's people in Israel like this. But God knows. And so I want to thank the church for the opportunity that I have been given to stand before you. This morning, some of the things we will say them in the course of our sharing this morning. Before we continue, there's a song that I love singing so much. You know, in Nigeria, the congregations are so large. The church where we go to has a population of, including children, and Deborah knows very well, has a population of between 2,500 to 3,000 people, including children, every Sunday. And today, when I stand here, I see the congregation is not large, but this song is going to encourage us a lot. It has encouraged me. It says, little is much. Little is much when God is in it. Little is much. In the harvest field now ripening, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the Master's voice is calling, to the harvest calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Though the place you're called to labor seems so small and little known, it is great if God is in it, and he won't forget his own. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. When the conflict here is ended and our task on earth is done, he will say, if you've been faithful, welcome home, my little child. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. I'll read from the NIV. It's a familiar passage. 8:22. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Let us pray once more. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for the opportunity of this day. We pray that you give us the understanding of your word. In Jesus' name we have prayed. The background of this story, of the passage that I have read, begins in chapter 8. And in chapter 8, verse 1, we know is the parable of the sower. And following that, in verse 16, is a lamb. Jesus was teaching about a lamb on the stand. And he went further to teach. As he was teaching about the lamb on the lamb on the stand, he was pricking the conscience of the people that were there. And as a result, they wanted to interrupt him. The people wanted to interrupt him. In verse 21, in verse 19, we are told, "Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, 'Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you.'" When I was reading this, I said, these people, maybe Jesus was pricking on their conscience, and so they wanted him to leave them alone. If somebody is talking to you, if somebody is ministering to you, and you are fed up with what he is saying, you'd want to distract him. Of course, his mother and his brothers were there. And these people thought, this man is disturbing us. He's talking to us about the light that is put, that this, you don't light a lamp and you hide it. And probably that is what the people did. That is what they were doing. Because Jesus was teaching based on the situation that he finds, based on the context of the situation that he finds himself. And what did Jesus tell them? He told them that, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." Today, when we hear God's word, what do we do with it? Do we put it into practice? In verse 22, where we have read, one day Jesus said to his disciples, the day was not mentioned. And he said to his disciples that they should go over to the side of the lake. So they got into a boat and set out. There are many times that Jesus demands us to do something. Jesus calls us to do a thing. Jesus tells us to do a thing and we refuse. We don't respond. Jonah did not respond. You know what happened to him? He was swallowed by the fish. And I tell people today, every time, I've said this many times, I said, do not be modern day Jonah. Because if you are Jonah of today, I have no guarantee that when the fish swallows you, the fish will vomit you. So when God calls us, we need to hearken. We don't have to behave like Jonah. Jonah, God was so gracious to him. It does not mean that God will continue to be gracious to us. In verse 23, as they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. Why did Jesus have to fall asleep? He was also tired like every other person. But verse 24 says, the disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, we are going to drown." They went to him maybe because they recognized his ability to rescue the situation. or because they themselves were helpless, or because they were afraid. And indeed, it was good that they took the initiative to go to him. If we are faced with challenges, who do we go to? Today, who do we go to? Some people, and that brings me to our focus today, with Jesus in the boat, he will calm the storm. We have different kinds of storms in our lives. Some people, their children are a storm to them. Some people, their marriages are a storm to them. Some people, tradition is a storm to them. Do you want to know how tradition is a storm in Africa? Customs and tradition. Do you know that in Africa, among my people, the Birom people, women and children are not supposed to eat eggs because they will steal. Yes, they don't eat eggs because they will steal. They don't eat gizzard. The gizzard, a woman is not supposed to eat gizzard. That is tradition. Our backgrounds can be a storm. Our families can be our storm. In Africa, people place premium on children. If you are married and you are barren, it can be a storm in your marriage. And not only that, even when you have children and you don't have male children, it can also be a storm for you. So who would you go to? Some people seek various means of solving their problems. The disciples did not. They looked up to Jesus. They went to Jesus and then they woke him up and told him that the ship was sinking. Some people think that money is everything. Of course, the Bible says that money answers everything. And if you have to look at the context of that, it answers everything, both good and bad. Money, I told somebody, money is good, but money is not the source of every joy. Some people go to what we call babalawo in Africa. That is fortune tellers when they are faced with one problem or the other. But as Christians, because I believe I'm talking to believers, I'm talking to men of God, with Jesus in the storm, we should look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Only Jesus can save. There's a song like that, a chorus in Nigeria. Only Jesus can save. Hallelujah. 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 Your money cannot save you. Hallelujah. Only Jesus can save. Hallelujah. Only Jesus can save. Only Jesus. Rak Yeshua HaMashiach, like the Jewish people will say. Where is your faith? In verse 25, Jesus asked his disciples. The matter of faith is where we all hinge our Christianity. Otherwise, we might be disappointed at some time when we are faced by stormy circumstances. Job was not disappointed, because he had tremendous faith. In fear and amazement, they ask one another, "Who is this? He commands even winds and the water, and they obey him." When the disciple asked, "Who is this?" it does not mean that they did not know Jesus. They knew whom Jesus was, but they were surprised. They were amazed. They were expressing surprise about what he was doing. What he was able to do to calm a storm. Maybe that was the first time they had seen such a thing. But not knowing, and like we say, they have not yet seen anything. He calmed the storm, and shortly after that, he walked on the water, on the sea itself. What we will say in Nigeria, the more you look, the less you see. Or the abracadabra, the more you look, the less you see. After calming the storm, they were amazed, and then Jesus started walking on the water again. brothers and sisters, life without Jesus is not life at all. But when once you have Jesus, you see, sometimes the message, some of the things that I'm going to say here are going to be old-fashioned. They are not going to be the passages that people will want to hear, because when you begin to talk of forgiveness, for example, forgiveness in the land of Israel to some people is not a thing that you talk about. How can I forgive? How can I forgive? Because hatred is also a storm. Unforgiveness is also a storm. When Emmanuel said, he was introducing me, I tell you what happened to me in 2002. Precisely on the 12th of December 2002, Muslims went to our village, about 400 of them, and overran the village. Killed my father, who was 69 years old. Killed my sister-in-law and her six-year-old son. And then I'm a pastor. If it is somebody, he will expunge the portion that talks about forgiveness from the Bible, because it affects me. Would I stop talking about forgiveness? Would I stop talking about loving the enemy? But to some people today, they will say, oh, you don't know what I'm going through. He is talking about forgiveness because he doesn't know what I'm going through. We will only pray for you. I know what I went through. I know what I am still going through. And it is not a license. If you don't forgive, you are faced with the storm. The situation is real. You have been affected. Your child has been killed. Your brother has been killed. Your friends have been killed. Everything has been removed away from you. How long do you continue to keep malice? Are you any better than the offender if you don't forgive? These are spiritual matters. That is why Paul said that you have to give milk to babes, and you give solid food. This is solid food. Because even among my brothers, I had a problem with them. Some of them. How can you be talking like this? How can you be talking about forgiveness? Then I asked, what do you want to do? When you leave the matters to God, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord of hosts. And do you know what? Why I'm convinced is because when God looks at your situation, when God is going to determine your situation, he doesn't look at your face. It is better for people to determine your case because they will have compassion. But God, because he is just, and you forgive, by the time you forgive, you tell God that he should take over from there. And vengeance, God will really revenge. Even today in Leviticus, where Brian read 19, is talking about hatred. He's talking about matters like this. How long will you continue to keep malice, brothers and sisters? You know, there's this illustration that I have of a man and a woman. They were so disenchanted with each other to the point that they were not talking to each other. It's a couple. They were not talking. So if they want to communicate, they will write. They write each other. They will write, the man will write the woman. And the woman, the wife will read what he has written, and if she wants to talk to him, she will write back. And one day the man was traveling abroad. He had packed his suitcase, he had done everything, and he wrote the wife, I'm traveling. So wake me up, when he was sleeping, wake me up at 8 a.m. You know what happened? The woman said, okay, yeah. That is good. She read it. She understood it very well. But in the morning when it was 8, she wrote, it is 8 o'clock. Please wake up. It is 8 o'clock. Please wake up. And he did not wake up. And he missed his flight. And he could not travel. And that was the end of that feud that day. Tolerance. We need to tolerate each other. It's not standing and preaching. If you live among the Muslims, it's not standing and preaching. It's what you are able to do, what they see you manifested in your life. That is the most important thing. This man says that he's a child of God. This woman says she's a daughter of God. What does she do? Do you love? Do you give the poor? There are many people. Look, in Nigeria, in Africa, we have no reason to be poor. We have no reason to be poor in Nigeria. I speak for the country, for where I come from. But because people are selfish. I have told my colleagues that we are here that Nigeria, if the half of the resources are going to be used sincerely for the benefit of the people, we will have better highways than we have in Israel. We will have better houses than we have in Israel, but because people do not love each other. And that was why I sang this song. Little is much. Because in this congregation, you have done a lot. And you continue to do a lot, I believe. Remember, with Jesus in the storm, with Jesus in the boat, he will calm the storm. Why am I talking about forgiveness today? It is very, very important. The Christians in Nigeria, in what we call the Middle Belt, are suffering in the hands of the Muslims. Islam came from the north. Those of us, Emmanuel and myself, come from where we call the Middle Belt. The south is basically dominated by Christians. The north, there's pressure by Muslims. And that is, so the Middle Belt is where the fighting, particularly Plateau State and particularly Jos. The fight over Jos is the fight for political, is political, and it is the fight over the land, over the rulership. That was why Jotham said last week that we need to pray for the politics. And I want to share with you this morning that the need that Jotham brought has been answered, because the senator that has been creating problems in Plateau State, Senator Ibrahim Mantu, was voted out last week. He was a deputy Senate president, but he created and held the state ransom for about 3 years. He was voted out last Saturday. And so it is good that God's people should be told so that they can pray more. We need to look up to Jesus. It is true that forgiveness is difficult, but it is not an impossibility. It is difficult. Forgiveness takes time. It is a journey. It takes time. Okay? Forgiveness depends on you, like I have said. Jesus forgave in Luke chapter 23. Even if we are not going to forgive because we are Christians, and because Jesus forgave in Luke 23 verse 34, we need to also forgive. Forgiveness does not absolve one from bearing the consequences of his action. Did you hear that? It does not absolve one from bearing the consequences of his action. Because you have offended me and I have forgiven you does not mean that you should not be punished for your act. It's biblical. Does not mean that I should trust you immediately. It's biblical. If a child of God is caught in adultery and then he is forgiven, does not mean that he should be trusted immediately. Forgiveness does not mean you should not pay restitution. When you steal government funds and you are forgiven, you should pay back. That is why we are saying that it does not mean that you should not bear the consequences of your action. Otherwise, people will use that as a platform to cheat on other people. After all, I will beg for forgiveness and I will be forgiven. Forgiveness sets us free from pain. How long do you intend to keep malice? To forgive is to set a prisoner. I got this on one of the emails in the home where we live. And it says, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and to discover that the prisoner was you. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and to discover that the prisoner was you. Because by the time you forgive, you are free. Forgiveness is a precondition for God to forgive us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 to 15. Matthew chapter 6. I think I need to read that. Chapter 6, verse 14. Verse 14 and 15 says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. You see, sometimes when I read the Bible and it talks to me, I have said many times that the Bible is so fearful. When I read and this verse pricks my conscience, if I don't forgive, God will not forgive me. And it was Bob Marley that sang. He said, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Everybody wants to be forgiven. Wants God to forgive him, but he wouldn't want to forgive. What is our Christianity? At what level is our Christianity? In the land of Israel today, if you are truly Jewish and you are a believer, like I said, it is a journey. It is difficult, but it is not an impossibility. Would you forgive the Germans? Do you want God to forgive you? It's difficult. It's difficult, I tell you. If somebody offends you, it's difficult. I still remember the events 2002, up till date. And many Americans are remembering the events of September 11th. But is that a guarantee for you not to forgive? It's a storm, isn't it? It is a storm. And it is only God. It is only God. My prayer is that whenever we are faced with challenges or whenever we have stormy situations, either in our life, either in our homes, either in our marriages, that we'll call Jesus, we'll call God to intervene on our own. The Bible says on our own we can do nothing. But through Christ who strengthens us. Brothers and sisters, this subject, like I said, is so difficult. And by the time you forgive, at times it changes the offender. When you forgive the offender, it changes him. Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, forgave. And do you know what happened? Paul was one of the people that stoned Stephen. Remove Pauline epistles from the Bible today. Because Paul forgave, it changed. Because Stephen forgave, it changed the disposition of Paul. Are you ready to forgive? Some say, I will forgive but not forget. There are two things. Yes. If you don't want to forget, I tell people that we take this thing step by step, one step after the other. I'm not saying you have to forget, but first of all, forgive. I will not forgive, but I will not forget. Yes, forgive first of all. That will be the first step. And with time, with God helping you, you will forget. Because God himself forgives us and he never remembers. And if you want the reference, it's Jeremiah 31, 34. When God forgives, he does not remember. And if we are Christ-like, if we are Christians, if we are to be godly, if we are to imitate God, why will we not forget? Philippians, he wrote a book, Where is God When It Hurts? He certainly knows your situation. God knows your situation. God knew my situation. God knows that you can absorb that stone. And that is why he allows it. He does not cause it, but he allows it. There's a saying that life is a vice. Sometimes it squeezes you a little. And that a good Christian is like a tea bag. He is of no use until he has passed through hot water. I know why I'm saying this. I read a book about depression by Maurice Cerullo, and he said two things that spoke to me. That if you are depressed, if you are faced by challenges, God knows. He might not have caused it, but he knows. That is one. Number two, if you are faced by challenges for the fact that God knows, he might be preparing you for ministry in the future. Nobody will speak better than like a childbearing mother. You speak of child pains from experience. Nobody who has not given birth will be able to speak about child pains. Why am I saying this? Today, when I speak to people about forgiveness, when I speak to people, they say, oh yes, we know what you know what you are saying. You know what you are saying, and they are ready to listen to me. More than people that have not experienced that kind of situation. And finally, I tell you, I spoke to a Muslim one day. I know that God allowed this situation to give me a ministry. It has been difficult. But I was sharing to a Muslim. One day I went to photocopy some documents. And I met the man. I met a Muslim photocopying an Arabic book, a big one. And he decided to say, okay, Dan, he did not even know me. But he was kind enough to allow me to photocopy the few papers that I had so that I can go. But I insisted that since I met him first, he should finish what he was doing. And I did it on purpose so that I can share the word of God with him. And I spoke to him. We sat down there and we were discussing, and I started bringing this issue, the storm that I went into, and how my father was killed, and he knew of the situation. And I told him, I said, but do you know what? I have forgiven the people that did that, and I could see it in his face that he was troubled in his spirit. And he said, have you really forgiven? I said, yes. I don't know what would happen to him later on, but God knows. Storms, like I said, are a mark of true Christianity. At this moment, we are going to pray. Let's all be on our feet. Every one of us has passed through a storm or the other. I want us to pray that God should give us the enablement so that we will do that which he requires of us. Some people, it is their marriages. Some people, it is their children. Some people, it is their jobs. Some people, it is the people they relate with. Some people, it's poverty. Some people, it's prejudice. Prejudice. Let us pray that God will help us to overcome this. Our Father in heaven, we thank you because of your word. We thank you because of who you are. We thank you, Lord, at this moment that you are always there, because you are always there for us. We thank you, Lord, because your word will not go out void. It must accomplish the purpose for which it is sent. We thank you because we are Christians. I want to use this opportunity to pray for all of us. I don't know what each and every one of us is going through. It is possible at this moment some people are going through a turbulent time in their life, but you know. We pray, Lord, that you meet each and every one of us at our points of need, that you give us a testimony that indeed we will not regret to have known you. We will not regret to serve you. Peradventure, we have said anything in this assembly this morning that will not bring glory unto your name. We pray, Lord, that you forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Daniel, for that message that is spoken when we go through the trial. We thank you, Lord, when we go through the squeezing. We thank you that when we go through the hot water, it is that your grace might be seen in our life. Help us, O Lord, to do something that is very difficult, to forgive when we have been attacked, when we have been offended. Help us, Lord, to live in that forgiveness towards one another, that they might know that we are Christians by the love that we have one for another, for all people, for all nations, for all your creation throughout this earth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We thank you for that, Lord. Amen.